Happy Easter, Church. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. So if you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord for us today.
Well, I'd like to start this morning by talking about the newest and smallest part of the U.S. military. It's called the Space Force, and they conduct operations, you guessed it, in outer space. So I did a little bit of research and reading on this particular branch of the military this week. Their focus is on the great beyond, the things that are well out into deep space. And much of their work, I found, is experimental. So they don't fully know or understand, but they're learning, they're developing. It's experimental. Their mission is clear. It's to defend against threats, particularly the interests of the United States of America, to defend against threats from space. And so they're developing technology to help defend us from attack, as well as I found, this was kind of an eye-opener for me, potentially avoiding collisions from asteroids that may not be imminent, but in days that lie ahead. So if you're wondering about this branch that maybe you know a lot about, maybe you know a little about, the budget for this year is $40 billion. $40 billion. And that's a significant increase from last year's budget. 2025 was $29 billion. There are currently about 14,000 service members in the Space Force, 14,000 people. So they recruit and train these personnel. And do you know what they're called? Guardians. They're called guardians. Like, Cleveland didn't realize that that was already taken, apparently, when they named their baseball team. And as I read about this and even share about it this morning, like, it sounds a lot less like the Pentagon and more like Marvel Studios, right? This is not a movie. This is not a Netflix show. This is a real, live branch of the U.S. military. And we weren't the first ones to do this. In fact, we were the second nation to launch a space force. The first was China, and the U.S. was second, who has a similar program. So if we're honest, part of us, when we hear about this, we sort of chuckle a little bit. We sort of go, is this a joke? Is this for real? How legitimate is this? I'm not part of the military world. I speculate that maybe other branches have a particular view of those in the space force. Questions begin to arise, like, are aliens planning an invasion that we don't know about? But here's the real idea behind it, and the reason for me mentioning the Space Force this morning. And here's what they're doing. Here's what we can sort of ascertain from this whole program that started about 5 years ago. You prepare for victory before the battle even shows up. So you don't wait for the attack to happen to start planning. Like, what are we going to do now? There's an asteroid. What are we going to do now? There are aliens invading. You plan for it before it happens. You get ready ahead of time so that when something does occur, you're not caught off guard. Like, there's an old adage that says, when the pressure is on, you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to your highest level of preparation. And so that's definitely the spirit behind it that we can understand from that. And I believe that helps us to understand something about God. That's right. I believe the Space Force can help us understand something about God. Because in just the same way as they are preparing for events and circumstances or attacks and the unknown so that they're ready, in just the same way, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ was part of God's plan. It's not God reacting. It's not God caught unawares or unprepared. It is God executing his plan of redemption. What good news that as we celebrate this morning, the high praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the living Christ, that we recognize that this was part of God's plan, his master plan of salvation, and it began long before Christ arrived on earth. So when we come to the gospel accounts and we read about Jesus being betrayed and Jesus being arrested, it looks like defeat. When we see him crucified, it feels like the enemy must have the upper hand. He's buried. It might seem final. There is a certain finality to that, isn't there? When you're in the tomb, when you're in the grave. But again, God wasn't scrambling. God wasn't trying to figure out how to respond. God was ready. God had prepared that moment. Every promise, every prophecy, every step was leading to this. And what is it? It's a victory. It is a victory that will change everything. And so here's the good news for us today as we hear again this story of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus walked out of the grave, you too can walk in victory. Because Jesus walked out of the grave, you too can walk in victory. And that is today, tomorrow, and forever. That's what we're going to talk about together today. So my name is John. I serve as lead pastor in this place. Just thrilled to see you today. Thank you for coming and joining us for this resurrection service. I'm praying that as you study God's word, he draws you closer to his heart. As we talk about victory this morning, which is kind of our theme word and theme for the morning, I'll go ahead and tell you right here up front what I'm going to preach this morning. These are three steps you can take to have victory in your life. Because the victory of Jesus on the cross isn't just some detached theoretical thing. It's real life impactful for you and I today and tomorrow and each day of our life. So if you're wondering this morning, how do I walk in victory? I'm going to share with you three steps to walk in victory. Number one, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, remember what God has done. And number three, stand firm in the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what God has done, and stand firm in the Lord. And as we study the scriptures this morning, those aren't just ideas that I came up with, they're what the Bible tells us. And so you can be looking for those as we walk through it this morning. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Lakota read for us a passage starting in verse 50, but I want to go to the beginning of the chapter, starting in verse 1. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1, I'm reading from the NIV. Paul says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." And we'll stop there for now. The resurrection of Jesus is indeed the ultimate victory. It's the true story of the God who so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? And we understand that whoever believes in him won't perish, but have eternal life. And so it's this ultimate victory of the Lord Jesus, that there is salvation for everyone who trusts in his name. So you want to walk in victory? I hope you do. I pray you do. How do you do that? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the foundation of faith. This is the most important question you will ever answer. This is what your eternal destiny hinges upon. And the scripture affirms this, that if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So 1 Corinthians 15, as we study it this morning, it shows us clearly, Jesus is victorious. And we too can be victorious in him. Jesus was victorious even over death and the grave. So let's keep going here. Let's jump down to verse 13. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. So belief in Christ and his resurrection is what everything else hinges upon. If Christ wasn't resurrected, if we don't believe that, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is who he says he was, he did what God had for him to accomplish, then my words today in preaching are but hot air. Your faith is futile. And in verse 20, in case we're wondering about that, in verse 20 he declares boldly, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. So we know with a certainty, and historical documentation will prove as well, the historical Christ who lived, who died, who was then seen after his death, who then ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, that Jesus has indeed victoriously defeated sin. And what that means is, like, you and I sin, and we have this guilt that then hangs over us. Like, we've done wrong, and we know we've done wrong. But through Christ, we have that freedom from the guilt that hangs over us for all of our wrongs, for he has defeated death itself, right? And death, of course, is the enemy of each and every person. In his death and victorious resurrection, he has also defeated Satan, our spiritual enemy. He's the one who opposes everything good. He's the one who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says he's like a prowling lion roaming the earth to devour people. And so that's why, if we look near the end of the passage, verse 54, this is from the section that Lakota read, that's why Paul says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Everyone say, victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Not postponed, not managed, swallowed up. Jesus overcame. Jesus brought victory over the power of death and Satan and sin and hell. And when I say God was prepared for this, God knew about this, he was also foretelling this to his people. So if we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, hundreds of years before Jesus, God is revealing his plan, who speaks of his suffering servant, Jesus. He says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So spiritually speaking, we've all wandered. We've all sinned. We've all chosen our own way. And instead of leaving us there, instead of allowing us to suffer the consequences of our wrongs, Jesus stepped in. Yep. He took our sin, our guilt, our punishment, and he carried it to the cross. It was nailed to the cross for sins committed before that, during that, and after that. For all time, a payment was made. The resurrection is where victory is declared over sin. I can tell you that I received an unexpected bill in the mail recently. This was from a local company. They had done some work for me last year, like in the fall, late summer, fall, and I received a bill, and like I was sure that I had settled up with them. Like, this must be just some mistake. They sent a hard copy, so I just ignored it. Then they sent an email. Then I got a text message saying that I owe this. Well, I just ignored it. I'm like, I'm confident that I don't owe these people anything. That's fine. Well, so 30 days goes by, and then I hear from them. Your payment is now 30 days past due. So, I don't know if you've ever had that experience before, but there's just like this heaviness where you go, oh man, what do I owe? And like, I haven't paid this. Like, there's just something really unsettling about that. So I had this moment where it was like, oh, I thought I was good, but apparently I do owe something. So I just called them up, like, hey, I got this bill. Like, what's the story? And it turns out that I was in their like auto renew program. So they were billing me for like this next fall, like fall of 2026, for services they haven't yet rendered. And they're like, we just wanted you to pay ahead for these. Like, wait a minute, I didn't even ask for this service. Can I get out of the auto renew? Yeah, that's fine. It was just in your system. They said, we didn't even do that. That was just our system that did that. You were just in the auto renew thing. Like, ah, what a relief. With Jesus, friends, the bill is paid. the rent collector, the bill collector, they never start hounding you. You don't get the email, the text, the hard copy. Like, there is no, you owe us. There's an outstanding debt. Your sin, your shame, your past mistakes. You no longer, this is the good news, that you no longer have to be a slave to your past. Because we all have a past. And for too many people who are not walking in victory, who are not walking in freedom, it is a weight that weighs them down. That's the language Scripture uses, isn't it? The sin that so easily entangles. Let us throw off those weights. Let's cast aside those things. How can we do that? Not in our own strength. We can do that by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and recognizing the victory won, the bill paid in full on the cross of Calvary. So let's pivot here and go to the gospel account in Luke chapter 24. I just love this story, and I want to read through this together. Luke chapter 24, so this is the account of the risen Christ on that first resurrection Sunday. Luke 24, starting in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. The stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. And the next word they say is this. Remember. They say, remember. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And what did they do? Verse 8. And then they remembered his words. I love this story. The women go to the tomb. They're expecting to find the body of Jesus. That's what you find in tombs, especially ones that a dead body had been placed in just 2 days before. They expect to find the body of Jesus. They are prepared for grief. You can see they have this heaviness about them. And they find the stone rolled away, the tomb empty, and the angels who say, what are you doing here? You're looking for Jesus? Well, this isn't the place. He's not here. He's risen. And they say, remember how he told you. And we see that they do that in verse 8. They remembered. How do we walk in victory? We've already talked about believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second way to walk in victory is by remembering what God has done. These women are grieving and they're afraid until they remembered. In fact, as you read through Matthew's account of this story, he tells us that the women hurried away from the tomb filled with joy. They come in mournful. They experience shock and confusion and amazement at the empty tomb, and they leave joyful. Why? Because they've remembered. Sometimes I think we fail to walk in victory because we forget what God has said. We forget what God has called us to. We forget what God has done. We forget the character and the nature and the heart of God himself. I can share with you that someone asked me, do you get tired when Easter rolls around? I mean, like, after 20 years, like, you're going to go, yep, he's risen again. You know, like, does it start to get kind of old? Like, how are you going to approach this, you know, Easter, like, when it just comes around again and again and again? I'm like, get tired of it? No! This story doesn't go stale. I never want to forget what Jesus has done. I never want to forget the awe and wonder of those first disciples who went into the tomb like, where's his body? Was he in that corner? Wasn't he right here? He's not here. I mean, like, the excitement and the wonder and the angels appearing saying, guys, he's not here. Don't you remember? He told you how this was going to go. He said he was going to be crucified, placed in the tomb. But when was it? Oh, the third day. He was going to be raised to life. I never want to forget this story. I never want to forget that we serve, we worship, we know a God that is alive. And he is alive forevermore. Oh, he was dead. Jesus died. Like he breathed his last. Brain stopped functioning, heart stopped beating, but he is now alive, resurrected by the power of God. And so I encourage you, I implore you this morning, as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to also remember what God has done. Don't get spiritual amnesia. Don't forget the things he has said. Don't forget what God has promised. Don't forget who he is. Don't live like he's still on the cross. Don't live like he's still in the tomb. He is alive. And don't you forget it. Remember that your sin has been paid for. Remember that death doesn't have the final word. That your life is one that can be lived in victory because of what Jesus did. He paid the penalty on the cross. He announced it with an exclamation point at the resurrection. You want to walk in victory? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what God has done. And then I have a third step for us this morning. And it's to stand firm in the Lord. Life's going to shake you. Circumstances are going to test you. There are going to be days where you wonder if you can go on. Whole seasons of weakness and weariness and uncertainty and overwhelm. Those things are real. Those things are true. But because of the reality of the resurrected Christ, you can stand firm. You can say, I am built upon a rock that is higher than I. You can say, my life is built on a firm foundation. Jesus tells this parable about two builders. One builds a house on the sand. One builds a house on the rock. The storms come. The house on the sand is flattened. It's a picture of a life built on absolutely anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. But the one who builds a life on Jesus, and there are moments where you say, it doesn't feel like I have anything but Jesus. But what good news. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so we build our lives on the foundation that is Christ. So when I tell you, you can stand firm, I'm not saying in your own strength. I'm not saying of your own accord because you're smart enough, because you're good enough. No, because you cling to Christ who is immovable and unshakable. You are not doing life alone. God has given us his Spirit. So the same Spirit, that same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in those who believe. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us, will remind us of truth. The Holy Spirit convicts us when we start to drift and empowers us to live differently than the pagan, unbelieving, unsaved world. So when I say stand firm, that means following Christ and following the convictions that he puts on your heart. Because sometimes you find yourself in a Christian subculture where it's like, well, this is okay. Oh, all right. Standing firm means sometimes all you have is Christ and his word and his Holy Spirit in you. So I want to encourage you with that today. The Holy Spirit of God is in you for those who believe. And he is empowering you and he is helping you to stand, helping you to endure, helping you to live a life that honors God and points others to Jesus. And so back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 58, as we kind of close out this passage, we have this encouragement. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so what does that mean? It means we press on for Christ. As we build a life and a foundation on him, unwavering because of who he is and what he has done, empowered by his Holy Spirit for righteous living, shining brightly as stars in the dark universe, we tirelessly then pursue the mission God has given us. And for us here as a local church, we know what that is. It is to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. And so we will be laser-focused on that. And we will be unrelenting in that. We will be his witnesses. The scripture calls us to this in Acts 1 and verse 8. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Because the biggest battle has already been won. Jesus was victorious over death. So as we started this morning talking about the Space Force, we realized the Space Force exists to prepare for a possible victory. I think the story of the resurrection tells us something even better, that the victory is won, that God prepared for and conquered sin and death. He secured it already. So we hold on to this good and wonderful truth because Jesus walked out of the grave. We too can walk in victory today and forevermore. And maybe you're sitting here today with that weight of sin and wrong on your shoulders. And the story of Jesus and the resurrection is kind of detached. It's like, okay, I've heard that. Jesus on a cross, Jesus the empty grave. But you're still in this place where you have guilt, you have shame. Like God has put that within each person where it's like, we know we've messed up. We know we've done wrong. We know we stand condemned. And I just want to speak to that this morning. You have not wandered too far. No matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done, Jesus says, I already paid the price for you. So come. That's what Jesus said. Come. To the disciples, whether they were collecting taxes or catching fish, come, follow me. To all people throughout history, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus says, you don't have to live under the weight of that sin. You can walk in victory. Jesus took your place. He was pierced because of your wrongs. He was crushed for your sin. He carried your guilt. He overcame hell so that you wouldn't have to spend eternity there. What good news. And so I implore you this morning, trust him with your life. Trust him with your eternity. Accept the victory that he's already won. And never, ever forget what Christ has done. Stand firm. Walk in victory. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. He lives forevermore. And because he walked out of the grave, you too can walk in victory. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. How we thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. So, Lord, I intercede this morning. I pray for those who are walking through seasons of difficulty and challenge and hardship and heartache and anguish. I pray for those who are living under the conviction of sin, that, oh God, you have victory and you have freedom. Lord, thank you that in your master plan of salvation, in your grace, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet to all who do receive him by faith, you say that we are children of God. And Lord, we know that unless we become like a little child, we cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so I pray for that today, that you would bring us that naivety and that humility and that desperate need for you. That as a little child asks for help, asks for assistance, asks to be carried, to be protected, that, Lord, we would come to you with that same heart. That, Lord, we need you. We cannot make it on our own. And how thankful we are that you have already prepared for our predicament of sin, that you've sent your Son, Jesus, and to those who believe, there is salvation. Lord, we're just believing in you today. We thank you that as we build a life on the sure foundation that is Christ, that we will stand firm. And I pray for that today, Lord. For Christian believers to rise up, to be a voice in their generation, to call on the name of Jesus, and to live for you, and to cling unswervingly to the faith we profess. That's only been accomplished through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray all these things. Amen.